Sometimes people will come to me in the sacrament of penance and confess that, oh, Father, I neglected my prayers. Father, I didn't get my prayers in. I forgot my prayers. You know, I often wonder exactly what they mean by that. And probably, you know, when we talk about the prayers or my prayers, what comes to mind? A lot of times we might think of the Our Father, like Jesus taught his disciples in the gospel today, or maybe the Hail Mary or the Glory Be, or some other kind of well-known, memorized prayer. In fact, I think that's probably a little bit what this disciple had in mind when he came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples. I think maybe they were looking for some set kind of formula, some magic formula almost, as if to say, Jesus, we don't know how to talk to God. How do we talk to God? I mean, we want to talk to God, but you know, we don't want to say the wrong thing, or what do we need to say to get what we want? You know, what are the magic words to talk to God? I think if that's the way we look at prayer, we're really missing out. Because notice the most important part about Jesus' response is that he says, when you pray, say, Father. Now, right away, we see that Father is a relational term. It's not, okay, here are the magic words. It's like, no, the most important thing, Father. That means that we're in a relationship with a God who loves us and wants to give us everything that we need. So whenever we talk about prayer, we should think of the word relationship, and that this is ultimately just like our human relationships that require various work and communication and time spent together, that this is what God wants. You want to know, how do I pray? Well, start with, God wants a relationship with you. God, who is passionately in love with you, wants a relationship. That's prayer. Now, to be practical, the disciples said, all right, teach us how to pray. And Jesus did give them something practical. Here are some words. So today, too, you might be thinking, well, I'd like to pray better. I'd like to know how to pray more. What do I do? Teach us how to pray. So I got five things for you today. Five different kinds of prayer the church has traditionally recognized. Adoration, thanksgiving, contrition, intercession, and petition. A-T-C-I-P. And just as a little mnemonic to help remember that, you can think, as the Christian, I pray. As the Christian, I pray. A-T-C-I-P. Adoration, thanksgiving, contrition, intercession, and petition. Look at adoration first. Think about a human relationship. When we hear the word adoration, we might think about, you know, how we just adore some kind of sports star or some teenagers that are just crushing on some pop star or movie star. Oh, I just adore that movie star. Well, it speaks a little bit to the heart, that our heart is somehow just taken with this person. Like, I just want to be with them. I can't wait to be with them. Well, that's a little bit of the adoration then that we mean when we mean God. Not some superficial kind of thing, but there should be something in our hearts that says, I just want to be with God. And for this, there are no words. There is no magic formula to adore God. Essentially, it's a movement of the heart, where maybe we come into the church and we just recognize that in the tabernacle there, the God of the universe who made everything, he's right here present. The same God, the second person of the Holy Trinity who became man, created the whole world, created me, created everything, is right here waiting for me. And maybe what moves in our heart is just, oh my gosh, that is amazing. That is incredible. Jesus is here, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. That's awesome. That kind of movement of the heart is adoration. So that might be a way to pray. Stay with that and just say, wow, God, you are amazing. And maybe there are no words that come. Second, then, thanksgiving. From adoration, maybe some of the words that would come would be, thank you, God. You're amazing. Thank you. Thank you that you give yourself to us in the Eucharist. Thank you that you're here with us. Thank you for my family. Thank you for this day. Thank you for even the difficulties that you give because you work for good. Thank you for being my Father who loves me. That's good prayer too. Thanksgiving. And then after we're adoring God and thankful, we might realize that with any relationship, sometimes we take it for granted, and sometimes there are ways that we hurt the relationship. Things stand in the way between us and God, and you can't have a good relationship when you're mad at each other, when you're fighting. You know this from just human relationships in marriage. You know how important the words are, "I'm sorry." If you've messed up your relationships, be the first one to say, "I'm sorry." We need to do that with God too. And that we call contrition. To say, "God, I know you want a relationship with me, and anything that's in the way, my sin, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry for the right reasons. I want my heart to be perfectly united with you, and I just got messed up in sin. Lord, forgive me." And he does. That's contrition. So adoration, thanksgiving, contrition. These beautiful kinds of prayer that maybe we neglect sometimes. But then we come to maybe the ones we're more familiar with, intercession and petition, literally asking for stuff. Now, it would be wrong if we only asked God for stuff. Imagine if you're in relationship with someone and your whole relationship is based on, "Hey, what can you do for me? I need you to do this. I need you to do that." Well, that wouldn't be a very good relationship. But if we are really in an intimate friendship with somebody and you need something, well, you know you can go to your friend and say, "Hey, friend, I need this." And they'll do what they can to help if they're a good friend. So it's okay to ask for stuff. Ultimately, God says it's okay too. We don't want to start with, "Hey, God, give me this." That's why adoration, thanksgiving, contrition, they come first. But then, you know, we can ask for stuff. In fact, that's the point of our readings today. Intercession means basically asking for things that God would bless other people. And petition kind of means asking God for what we need. We think of intercession, and we think of that reading today with Abraham in our first reading. You know, here he is interceding on behalf of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, these are the two most wicked cities in the history of the world, pretty much. And God's decided he's going to wipe them out. He's like, "I've had it. They're so sinful." And Abraham steps up and says, "God, you know, what if they're 50 innocent people?" Notice how bold Abraham is. "God, far be it from you to condemn the innocent with the guilty." I mean, what kind of God would you be? That's pretty bold to speak to God that way. And then he goes on to almost argue and kind of debate and bargain with God. What if there's 45? Okay, what about 40? Can you give me 40? Can you give me 40? God, I got 40. I'll see your 40. What if there's only 30? What if there's only 30? All right, for the sake of the 30. What about 10? Okay, 10 people. I mean, who is Abraham to auction with God almost? And yet, that's our scripture today to say that's good. That's good what Abraham did. Why? Why? Because Abraham, in his heart, is interceding. He's praying on behalf of somebody else. You know, if I'm Abraham, I'd be like, "Wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, darn right, God. Let me help. Can I bring down fire on them, those no-good pagans in Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah, let's get them." That would be a normal kind of response. "You start over with me, God. I'm great. Get rid of those other guys." But he doesn't. He intercedes for something that would not benefit him at all. He's like, "Can we help Sodom and Gomorrah, God?" That's amazing. That's even asking things for other people is a great form of prayer then. But to even pray for your enemies. Now that's some powerful intercession right there. But notice also that Jesus goes on to even say then, even for ourselves, we could be bold enough to ask God what we want. To even bargain, as it were. "God, you're my Father who loves me. It's right here in Scripture. So I have a petition. Here's what I want." Now we could err on the side of saying, "I'm not going to ask God for anything. And who am little I to ask God for something?" That would be a mistake. That's saying, "I don't trust this relationship with God. God doesn't really love me, so I'm not going to ask for anything because I'm not worthy." No, when you pray, say, "Father." Father loves his children. But maybe we can also err on the other side of only thinking that I've got to have this or I'm just not going to be happy. God, I need this. Give it to me right now. Okay. Jesus kind of says, all right, you're partly right. And he gives us this example of this friend who comes at midnight to his friend. This must be an incredible friend. You go knock on your friend's door at midnight and say, hey, give me some food. It's amazing. But he does. And Jesus says, even if he doesn't get up because of the friendship, he will if you just bug him to death. Just keep pounding on the door, and eventually he's going to get up because he's not going to sleep with you pounding on his door. God compares himself to that. He's like, no, you're not going to wear me out. Keep praying. Keep asking. You don't have to be like, oh, God, I asked you once, so that's enough. No, be like Abraham. Okay, God, yeah, I asked, but okay, here, let me ask for a little bit more. And I want a little bit more. That's not bad. We might instinctively think, that's bad. No, we shouldn't bug God. God says, no, bug me. I want to hear. Ask me. Why? Well, because like any good parent, what does God really want? He wants us. He wants a relationship. So if we're not afraid to come ask him for stuff, he loves us. He wants to give us what's good. And he wants us to be in relationship. He wants us to seek him and not worldly pleasures all over the place. If you're having a terrible day and you're down, don't go out and seek pleasure in some way that the world says. God says, come to me, ask me, bug me, pound on my door. I promise, I'll answer. Keep knocking. Now, I will have to say, though, that in my prayer, some of the more difficult times are not so much adoration and thanksgiving and even contrition. It's easy to thank God for things. It's even easy to say, all right, I messed up. For me, the harder part is when I think there's something really good that I want to pray for, and I ask God, you know, heal this person. God, help this family. They're struggling. And it seems that what we read in Scripture today, it seems not to happen. God, you say, ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened. How many times have I been in prayer and thought, God, I've asked, I've knocked. It sure seems like the door is staying shut and you're not answering. I think unanswered prayers or seemingly unanswered prayers are some of the most difficult things that we as people who love Jesus have to deal with. Why does God allow so much pain and suffering in the world? And even we who love God more than anything, who want to cry out, Father, why does the answer seem to be sometimes no or just silence? Here's the thing. Whenever I bump up against that, and I don't have magic answers for that. I mean, why does God allow a little child to get cancer and die? Why does God take my parent when they're, you know, 50 years old from some sudden illness? Why does God allow a family to lose a job? Why did we lose a child? Why can't we get pregnant? Just fill in the blank with all kinds of things that if we want to pray, these would be good prayers for God to answer. Why doesn't he do it? Two things. One, when I bump up against that, I try to tell myself, well, you know, the world is just broken and a mess. There's a reason we call this a valley of tears in the Salve Regina, because this world is not perfect. If it were, we'd want to stay here forever. So sometimes I turn that pain, that suffering of unanswered prayers and say, you know what? This is a little sign that I'm not made for this world. This world is not our lasting home. It's not where I'm meant to stay. This little pain or suffering that God's not taking away, it helps remind me of a place where he will take it away. When there is no tears or suffering or death anymore, and we are forever with God in heaven. So even let an unanswered prayer be something that pushes me towards the desire for heaven. Okay, that's one good way to deal with unanswered prayers. But secondly, maybe more importantly, sometimes God seems not to answer the prayer because he's got something much better in mind, and that we, with our limited vision, we don't even know what to ask for. That's why, praise God, we say the Holy Spirit intercedes and prays for us, because we don't know what we really want. There have been times when I've been pretty sure, God, this is what I want. Give it to me now. It totally makes sense. If you love me, you would do this. And God's like, nope. Why? Because he doesn't love me? No. When you pray, say, Father, he is our Father. But why doesn't God do it? Because he knows. If I could see it from his perspective, this is not the best thing. It's not what I would really want. What father would give his son a snake if he asked for a fish? Or a scorpion if he asked for an egg? Yeah, give me good things, God. But on the other hand, what good parent would give their two-year-old Cheetos every morning for breakfast if they asked for it? Okay, not. And God's the same way. He knows, spiritual two-year-olds that we are sometimes, he knows it's not good to answer every prayer exactly the way we want it. But here's the thing. Does answer. God is faithful. He says, ask and you will receive. Maybe not exactly receiving what you asked. Knock and the door will be open, but maybe not exactly the same door leading where you thought. End with this little example of how sometimes God's answer to prayers are a lot better than ours. And this is a nice one because it goes back to St. Patrick's. I was here as summer 2005 as a seminarian and really grew to love the people in the parish, and St. Patrick's people were so wonderful to me back then. And I went back to seminary that fall, and some of you will remember, we had a real great tragedy that fall. A car accident killed my classmate, Maddie Molnar, and Jared Cheek, the class below him. Two of our seminarians killed in a freak car accident. Now, you want to talk about praying earnestly to God. That was me. I'm like, God, come on, what are you doing? It's two men giving their lives to be priests. Not like we don't need priests, God. What's going on? Why do you allow this? Where are their guardian angels? Where's your intercession? Where's your protection? Okay, now that sounds like, ooh, that's just a little bold, yelling at God. No, that's good prayer too. If you're mad at God, be mad at God. He can take it. He wants a relationship. So I was in relationship, but I'm like, God, this is what I'm thinking. And you know, I remember it was about a week later and I'm just down in grief. And I was lying on my bed at night, couldn't sleep. And my prayer literally was, God, in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus was in agony in the garden, you sent him an angel to help him. I want that. I want an angel. I'm like, hey, it's right in scripture. And God will send his angels to watch over you. And I'm like, I want one now. Like, I want an angel right now. And like, I'm looking up at the ceiling of my room thinking, like, now, God, any moment. Feathers coming down. Well, he didn't answer that prayer. And in the morning, I got up and I'm all mad and I'm still sad and all kinds of emotion. And then I got my mail that day. And here's where St. Patrick's come in. Because I got a little note card and it was from St. Patrick's. And it wasn't signed by any particular person. It was just your parishioners at St. Patrick's. And it said simply, Sean, we know you've got to be going through just a terrible time right now. We want you to know that we're praying for you and that God hears you. Sincerely, your parishioners at St. Patrick's. And on the front of the little note card was the picture of an angel. I thought, okay, God, that's pretty good. You know, I prayed for an angel and you gave me a note card with an angel from St. Patrick's. Okay, it's not exactly what I wanted, but that's pretty good. Actually, it was just enough. You know, they didn't have to hit me over the head and say, hey, I'm real. Nice. Look, it was enough for me to know, all right, God, you got this. That's how sometimes God answers prayers. And most importantly, it showed me, all right, there's the relationship. He's not mad that I yelled at God. He wants that. What's your relationship with God like? What is your prayer life like? Do you even know what to do to talk to God? Does it only happen on like really small and strange occurrences? Or can you just stop in the middle of your day and say, adoration, thanksgiving, contrition? No, you're probably not going to go through the whole thing, but wow, God, thank you for this day. This is amazing. Or man, God, I messed that up. Forgive me. Or just, God, things are not going well. I could use some help here. Lord, have mercy. There's a good prayer. What is it? I encourage you this week, right now, go out and decide, not I'm going to show up at confession and say, I forgot my prayers. Well, what is your prayer? Above all, let your prayer be a relationship with God. Your prayer is just talking to God. So teach us how to pray. I can't teach you what to say to God anymore. I can teach you what to say to your spouse or kids. But God will teach you. All you have to do is talk to Him. That's prayer.